They were into the ductwork now, and they really did start hammering and pounding. The trick was to inset lead irised readers into the duct vent intakes and exhausts around the room so that they could not be seen and yet, peering out of the dark depths of the vents, could read an exact portion of the workrooms. The ducts actually required some very fancy work of their own. Although Kerr was a midget, he could bend sheet iron with his paws like it was paper. Kerr fixed it so the ducts, as they entered and left the room, were rickety. If you touched them, they appeared to be in danger of coming apart and falling out. But in actual fact, the final fittings were armor welded. They set the readers into these, made sure the irises worked, put the ducts in place, and began on the circulator pumps. It was late evening by this time, but they worked straight on through. By about 1 a.m, they had completed a usable circulator system that would go on working. They felt they were running behind in time, so they didn't stop. They had the problem now of centralizing the transmissions of all the readers and getting them clear over to the academy, miles away. None of these readers could be powered and picked up from more than a few hundred feet away. They all had different frequencies to keep them apart, and this meant a bulky feeder system. Johnny worked on the probe some more and put an on-off remote in it that would turn off and on the multi-channeled feeder box. That was the easiest part. One mustn't have radio waves flying about with a probe on. The tough part of it was getting the transmission through to the academy. They solved it by using ground waves. Ground waves differ from air waves in that they can travel only through the ground. The aerial to send is a rod driven in the earth, and the aerial to receive is simply another. It takes a different wavelength band, so there was no danger of anything detecting it. Since ground waves were not in general use by the Earth cyclos, it required a feverish fabrication of components, converting normal radio to ground wave. It was the fall of the year, and it was still dark when Angus and Kerr went screeching off to the academy to install the receivers and recorders, one unit in a toilet, one in an unused telephone box, and the third under a loose tile in front of the altar in the chapel. Johnny, meanwhile, buried the feeder outside the dome in the ground. He had the pretext ready of looking for power cables, but he didn't need it. The world slept. He shoved in fuel cartridges to run it for half a year or more, wrapped it in waterproofing, buried it in the hole, pounded in the ground aerial, and restored the turf. Nobody could detect the grass had even been touched. A hunter's skill in making deadfalls came in handy.